The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ. Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM as well as our very faithful 1110 AM, and you can listen to us online at any time, WTBQ.com. And we are going to talk to somebody today who I hope can listen to us online in Africa. We're going to talk with Nathan Bird in a moment, who is in Africa, I believe in Kenya at the moment, working with education in the poor in a wonderful new organization called Opportunity International. We're going to talk about education and poverty and why it matters. And, you know, here we think, well, geez, we have an education. I'm not necessarily talking about higher education. I'm talking about elementary education, real basic education that not everybody around the world gets. And if you think it doesn't make a difference to us, it does. We live in a global world, and it really does matter because poverty everywhere ultimately does affect us. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about why education is so important in other places and how really different it is in places like Africa that we are not used to, and how lucky we are here and what you can do to help. And I want to welcome Nathan Bird to Shannon's Corner. Hi, Nathan. How are you today in Africa, in Kenya?
Great. How are you, Shannon?
I'm terrific. How is it in Kenya?
I'm thrilled the connection's coming through.
Yes.
No rain today, so that means the signal works.
Wow. I bet it's... Is it real primitive there or not as primitive as we think?
Probably not as primitive as you think. We have telecom towers pretty much everywhere, but... The rain still does affect signal quite a bit.
Yeah, I bet it does. And, you know, you are over there, as I just mentioned, for Opportunity International, and you're on the Education Finance Initiative. Why do we care, and why does this matter, and what does Opportunity International do there?
Sure. Well, Opportunity International in general is a network of microfinance banks and organizations that are focused on serving the working poor by providing access to finance and other important banking and non-banking services. So essentially, we can, as Americans, we can easily go and get a credit card. We can cover our expenses or put something on layaway or purchase something that we don't necessarily have money for now. And we can grow a business that way. And most businesses in the United States are grown on credit. And what we're doing is we're bringing that facility to those who don't have that facility, because it's such an important piece to development. And education-wise, we do that in education because many people here don't have enough money to pay for the actual cost of education. So the primary objective of our education finance initiative is to basically put the power into the hands of the working poor to send their children to school, to be able to move beyond their current economic and social status their impoverished economic and social status. And so why that's important to us is a very good question, and it's one I think it's a great question, and one I don't think gets asked very often. It's important because, first and foremost, people are people wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
There are billions of people on this earth, and only 300 million some of them live in the United States. So as humans, we naturally care about other humans. But economically, I think, going straight to the politics of the matter, the development indicators, health indicators, general GDP figures and everything are completely tied to education. So, for example, let's just go to the basic stats about what an education can do and work backwards from there. And if, for example, in sub-Saharan Africa, if you educate a girl, for example, and you get her a primary education, that girl who has a primary education versus a girl who doesn't have a primary education will, on average, get married 4 years later, have two fewer children, and those children are 40% less likely to die before the age of five.
Wow.
Why is that important to the United States? Well, it's important because we send a lot of development aid to Africa. We spend a lot of money helping other countries address these issues in a multitude of ways. And what we don't do is often think about the root cause and often think about really sustainable ways out of this. Once we educate a child, once we move a child beyond an uneducated state where they're going to be repeating the past difficult, or repeating the past, how would you say that? Repeating the past
patterns of the parents.
Exactly.
Right.
And basically remaining in the same cycle of poverty. We never really move beyond this level of development. And so we end up spending dollars after dollars after dollars on food aid, on emergency medical aid, instead of working to develop the human capital of the actual country, so that they can rise to the level of supporting themselves. If we look at countries like Rwanda, Ghana are the two best examples, excuse me, in Africa. These two countries have focused heavily from a government perspective for the last several decades on growing education. And when they focus so heavily on growing education, or through focusing so heavily on growing education, what has happened is that they have much more well-educated economies that have been able to launch industry and develop the capacity internally to compete in certain industries that have now brought them to the level of being considered by many to be middle-income countries, which means they're able to dedicate more aid to growing education and less aid to things like food aid. And they're able to feed their own people more readily than a country like Uganda.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
So that's a great answer, because really what you're there doing, as you said so eloquently, is getting to the cause of the root problem. At lack of education equals poverty. And poverty means that we spend money taking care of them on the very basic level. If we can take care of education, they can rise up, they can live longer, they can not be in poverty, and they can start to take care of themselves, which of course is the goal. So you are there in Africa. Do you see a change? How long have you been in Africa?
I've only been here about 5 months this time, so not too long.
Do you see a huge change there? Obviously, not maybe in the 5 months, but through the years that this has been working, and that education has come more, and people have come more and more to Africa to fix education, to help it. Do you see that change there?
It's interesting. Yeah, we do in certain areas. I think, again, in countries like Rwanda and Ghana, we've had a consistent and concerted effort at the government and development, government level, both national government and foreign governments who are coming in to assist on driving education initiatives. We do see a change in the workforce. We see a change in overall development indicators. I was just looking the other day at the growth numbers of involvement in education in Ghana, and it's startling to see that the country has moved to middle-income status on the back of very high gross enrollment ratios at the level of primary education, meaning basically more kids are getting into school, and on the backs of that, and they're doing it faster than other African countries, and on the backs of that, the economy is growing. It's not rocket science, as you said, right? This is all part of a formula that is very apparent. So yes, we are seeing it in certain areas. Other countries are lagging very far behind, though. Somewhere like DR Congo, for example, which is one country we work in, they're very far behind in economic or in educational indicators, and that's reflected in the country's economy. Of course, that country is somewhat of a bad example because of the history of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere like a Uganda is an easy one, where only about 20 to 25% of students are actually moving on to lower secondary. That means only a quarter of the population is getting anywhere beyond primary education. And it's no wonder that the economic indicators aren't reflecting, as education just barely grows.
Mm-hmm. What about small business? What about small business for the people that live there and the people that come there? Now, your company obviously deals in loans and taking care of and helping people get businesses started. If people get educated there, are they starting businesses, and is there opportunity for business in Africa?
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity for business in Africa, and a lot of the reason that we exist is to help individuals exploit that opportunity. And so we have close to 2 million clients in sub-Saharan Africa at this point, and those 2 million clients are doing exactly that for the most part. They're either running or starting small businesses. So those that say there's no economic opportunity in Africa are crazy. There's plenty of economic opportunity. The question is, having the means to exploit it. And so what we do is we provide those products for them to exploit that. And as people become educated, and that's an interesting question, as they become educated, are they actually doing so more? That's a question that's difficult to answer. Mm. What is easy to answer is that they do it better as they become more well-educated, right? Uh-huh. So we have an education or financial education initiative right now, for example, that's going into schools in Uganda and Malawi and teaching kids with a curriculum designed by an organization called Affligen, teaches kids about, in the formal education sector, about starting social enterprises, local social enterprises, and we're actually taking our own clients into those group sessions with students and giving them a localized example of a proprietor who has worked with us and who has been successful so that they can replicate that as a way to help pay for their education and as a way to develop a sustainable livelihood over time. So the short of it is, from an input side rather than from an output side, we can say yes.
That there is a lot of opportunity there. We have to, I hate to do this to you, Nathan. I know you are in Africa, but we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about Opportunity International and what it means to us here, what it really is all about, the work that obviously we're talking about that you're doing there with the Education Initiative. And we're going to talk again about how it works for us and about Africa. So stay with you. We are talking with Nathan Bird, and he's in Kenya, Africa. And we will be back here on WTBQ in just a few. Hi, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and don't go anywhere. We are talking with Nathan Bird, who is in Kenya, Africa, and yes, he has a great connection on the phone with us. He is over there working on education. He is working with Opportunity International, giving the poor a working chance, and he is in their education finance initiative. And we were talking earlier why it is so important, and I know it seems so million miles away and it doesn't affect our lives, but it does affect our lives in the bigger picture, in the world we live in the global picture of the world. It does affect our life what happens another continent away or many continents away, because in Africa we do send aid, and if we get them educated, they will live better, stronger, more self-sufficient lives. And this is exactly what Nathan is there doing. And Nathan, the work you are doing must be very rewarding, but is it equally as frustrating, and what are the challenges of it?
It can be incredibly frustrating at times, and it's the challenges are actually probably more travel related than frustration related. Just getting to places where we work with clients. Thank God we have great local staff and great people on the ground to help us out and to really drive us forward. It can be a challenging environment to work in. We don't always get such a beautiful phone connection. We don't always have internet connection to communicate with supporters and with teams on the ground. But it's a life-giving and a very hopeful sort of work to be involved in.
I bet.
When we go to rural Ghana, for example, and meet with clients who are doing amazing things with the investment that we've been able to provide through our supporters, and when we see what they're able to do for their communities, one of those stories will give you 3 weeks of energy to move forward. So it's an incredibly life-giving job, and it's exciting to be able to talk about it with other people and to share that energy, because this is kind of why we're here. Different people will have different perspectives on this, but if we can give the same opportunity that we have had by virtue of being born Americans to others that haven't been so lucky, and we see them take advantage of that and work hard for that, that's something to be extremely grateful for. Mm-hmm. And so any challenges that we have in the work kind of go away when we start hearing about wonderful people doing wonderful things. You know, one story that has always inspired me, but for the last 5 months has given me energy to really take on this challenge, is a woman named Comfort Atia, and she's this woman who runs a school in the outskirts of Ghana, just outside of Accra and Dansoman, and she runs the Ahobrezi Academy. And this school started out as a nursery school serving 30 kids who wouldn't otherwise go to school. They were basically running around naked in the street, And she bought the clothes, brought them into what was her home at the time, and then gradually moved to a rented facility and put them into school, right? taught the kids. And she came to us when her landlord was going to kick her out because the landlord wanted to do something else with the property and she was going to lose the school. We helped her to buy that building. She paid back the loan. Then we went to her again to build a small facility that she owned. And then she paid back the loan. We've lent to her several times. And over the last 5 years of lending to her and working with her, she's grown that school to an elementary school and a middle school serving 800 kids in the community, most of whom were not going to school back.
Wow.
And that's exciting.
That is exciting,
a change agent in the community. That's the rising tide. She's made enough money to support her own kids and then support 800 other kids. It's a beautiful story. It's a wonderful thing that's life-giving.
It really is. And it does, in this case, it does filter down into the community because all those kids that are getting educated can now do something that can make a difference for others in the community. And it's a huge ripple effect. What role does the government have, though, in education? Here, our education is free. Why is it not just free for them there?
Sure. And that's easily answered and a pretty short answer by saying, the pie is much smaller, right? Mm. So the tax base, for example, we'll use Kenya as an example. The tax base in Kenya is extremely small compared to that of the United States. The income of individuals is extremely low, so the amount of tax they're paying is going to be extremely low, and the tax systems themselves to collect are not up to par. So the government isn't getting a lot of revenue, and a lot of that is aid-based revenue, right? So mm-hmm. that's very directed revenue. So what happens is that individuals, it's not free because the government can't actually afford it. So actually, and the idea I think that a lot of people get is that African governments are not committed to education as much as the Western governments are. But if we take the percentage of total federal budget, African countries, on average, commit 18% of their federal budgets to education. In the United States, we commit 3.4% about there of our total budget to education. So it's kind of a misnomer to say that African governments don't care. It's just that they're contributing a lot of a tiny pie. And as
gotcha.
Our food lovers know, a lot of a tiny pie is worth a lot less than a smaller portion of a giant pie.
So they do care. The government does care. They just don't have the resources and clearly the money to give. And Opportunity International has been around how long?
Caught me off guard. Around 40 years.
Oh, a long time. Oh, okay. A long time.
Yes. So, it's not new.
It's not new. Okay, so they've been doing this a long time, giving the poor a working chance. And this is, in education, as obviously what you're in, do they do other things besides education? They give out loans for businesses, right?
Yes.
Okay. So
yeah, give out loans for businesses, give out loans to individuals, farmers, everything. Yep.
Uh-huh. And if somebody's there in Africa, let's say they're American and they want to start a business to help others in Africa and start a small business, could they go to somebody like Opportunity International?
Absolutely. You can go to a website called optinnow.org, and that website will allow you, you can get that to that through opportunity.org, which is our website, and that will allow you to support an individual micro-entrepreneur. To provide for them the startup capital. And the great thing about that is that that's revolving capital. There's a huge multiplier impact. So if you give $100 to an individual to start a vegetable stand and they pay that back in 7 months, after 7 months, that $100 is reinvested in another entrepreneur. And seven months later, another entrepreneur. And so 5 years from now, you will have helped 30 people with that same money.
Okay, because I know a few young people right now that are in Africa, my best friend's son and his girlfriend, and they're starting little businesses, and they say there's lots of opportunity, but they need money, and there's lots they can do that they see. I mean, they're New Yorkers, they're certainly educated, they understand, but they say there's so much opportunity, and there's so much that people need, and everybody is so eager to work. So certainly, this is not a country that doesn't want to work. This is a country that needs our help, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. People just need the leg up. They need the opportunity. Mm-hmm. They need the starting resources, and they don't need it free. That's the big thing. They don't need it free. They need the opportunity they need an opportunity where they are actually willing to pay it back, right? They're willing to pay the interest on a loan if they could just get the loan. It's something that we take advantage of,
right.
Or we take for granted.
We do.
All they need is that little bit of startup capital to buy the first materials, and they are going to work their tails off to pay that back. and grow their business piecemeal and basically live their own American dream. But the American dream, as everybody knows, is about working your tail off to get there.
And right.
There's no question that's the same opportunity here that they're hoping for.
And of course, in education, as we were talking about, and what you're doing there is really getting to the root of the problem. Without education, you're going to continue this problem over and over and over again, and the cycle is never going to change.
Exactly.
Once you start with education, you are then changing it, and the whole country will change. So as you said so perfectly, it is the root of the problem. And once we fix that, we stop having a problem there, which does help our whole world. So I keep saying this because I know listeners are saying, geez, that's so far away. But it really is a global world, and it really affects us all. So what you are doing there, Nathan, is really going to make a difference in the world and a difference in all of our lives. I have Opportunity International, which is what, opportunity.net, the website on Shannon's Corner. Is there any other, so anybody listening in the car can just go there. Is there anything else you want to tell listeners where they can go for information or help that I can put on the website?
Yeah, I think opportunity.org/give is actually slightly misnamed. That's the best website to go to. It is actually an opportunity to invest more than an opportunity just to give. So you can actually fund a loan from that website, which I think is really important. And that's where I would direct people mostly. If you want to go fund a loan and watch an entrepreneur succeed with directly from the dollars that you're providing, that's where you want to go.
And that was once again opportunity.
.org slash give.
Okay. All right. I will
and
put that
opportunity.org would be the best website to go to. Yes.
Okay. That'll be on Shannon's Corner. You can get through WTBQ. Nathan Bird, we have to wrap it up for today, but I thank you so much for joining us from Kenya, Africa. Great connection. You did, that was really perfect. I was so afraid it wasn't going to work, but it worked out well. So it must be a good day in Africa.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for the time, Shannon.
Thank you so much for joining us. And again, everybody, that is Opportunity International. I will put both of those websites. The one is already there on Shannon's Corner. But thank you for joining us today. And pay attention to what I said, because it does affect us all. Thank you so much for joining us all here today on WTBQ. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.